two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome on in. It's KSL's unrivaled, Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, former NFL quarterback, as always on the show, former University of Utah great, and also member of the Nebo School District Sports Hall of Fame. So congratulations on that.
You know, not everyone is a member of the Nebo School District Hall of Fame.
That is true. Not a lot of people.
Not easy to get into that one.
Only a handful went to Nebo School District. So yes. There you go. Joining us on the program for our 8:05 cut is Ben Anderson, our NBA Jazz insider, all things that have to do with basketball. He's joining us for our 8:05 cut. Let's kick things off with Ben then.
The cut at 8:05. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
All right, so the NBA is next in line to be a major sporting association who wants to get things
it's
going.
It's their turn.
Yeah, they're dying. You know, they're watching everybody else kind of put their toes in the water.
It's cold. We got next. Is that where
yes.
they are? We got next.
The water's cold, definitely, but everybody's just wanting to jump in. Ben, yesterday, Board of Governors meeting with the NBA, what did they talk about?
It really seems like they're starting to kind of get the wheels in motion to get the season back. It's no longer just kind of these hypothetical situations of, hey, would we play games here? Are you comfortable playing? It kind of feels like they're trying to get this train moving in the right direction to get the games back this summer.
What I don't understand, I wish someone would explain this to me. This sports population is not the population that we should be concerned about it. I mean, Rudy Gobert he was infected. So was Donovan Mitchell. And did they turn green? And did they, you know, and so. I'm just asking this question. I'm not trying to be insensitive here. Why should we care? Why should we be so worried? Because if they get infected, it's not like they're going to have some serious health issues with it. And if they do get infected, just keep them quarantined for 14 days, and that's that. Am I missing something?
I do, and I've wondered this since the beginning. Wonder how many players are potentially always playing with, you know, immune deficiency disorders, or how many guys do have potentially vulnerable immune systems that could make them at a higher risk if they did have to come back and play. And that's not something they're going to disclose to the public in general, or may want to keep private, you know, before the draft, that maybe after they get into the NBA, they can talk about a little bit more. But I don't know if any of these guys are playing with asthma or what their issues are. So there could potentially be some of that. But I'm with you, Scott. I do think one of the original fears was we just got so scared of this so quickly without a great understanding of what the virus was or how dangerous it was or who it's affecting that we're going to have to work our way back to a new comfort zone of just, hey, it's okay if some people get sick. These people probably aren't going to have long-term effects from it. It's probably not going to change their life outside of a couple of weeks. And we just have to find that new comfort zone. And that's hard to do because we've had to reestablish this new comfort zone to get to where we are now over the last couple of months, and we've really struggled to do that.
if you are, you know, an owner, how does this work? Like, because I could imagine there are some organizations, because they're all individual franchises, who are going to go, we're not ready for this. Is this something they end up voting on? Is this something that they end up, that the league just goes, we're doing this, the Players Association's on board, and then we're moving forward, and the teams just have to comply?
Yeah, can you get to a point where 29 of the 30 teams are comfortable coming back, but Mark Cuban says the Dallas Mavericks aren't coming back, and then what do you do?
Wow.
You just don't have a playoff team? I mean, I do think that is something that, and I guess the value of having the union here in the NBA is that the union will vote on the majority says they want to happen, will happen. And that will have to be the case, and I would be stunned if you had one owner say he wasn't going to allow his team do it if there was 29 other teams, or maybe it's only 16 teams that come back to complete a playoff series or a playoff run. I do think the fact that there are some unions here should eliminate some of those one-offs of what's going to happen. And then really the ultimate union is the capitalist union that we belong to. Everyone wants this money back, and I understand that completely.
I think it's hard when you have some people go, I'm wearing a mask, and some people go, I'm not going to wear a mask.
Right.
I mean, I could totally see how these teams would,
if you've noticed, like,
be,
you,
like,
we all have,
you know, freaked out about it.
Yeah, we all have, like, friends. We all have that friend or a handful of friends, or if you go to Walmart, the three quarters of Walmart, it seems like,
right,
that they're like, I'm not going to be wearing a mask. And you go, okay, well, we're doing this over here. And so it's going to be like that from team to team, from locker room to locker room. And, you know, the UFC is one of these things. We talked with OC yesterday about this. And, you know, Dana White kind of goes, he's kind of the cavalier cowboy as it is. And their league is that type of a league. And so they just go, we're going to take the risk. And we'll make that risk because we'll do all the testing we can and try to be as safe as we can. But we're also going to try to get on TV before everybody else. I mean, the NBA certainly wants to recoup dollars that way when it comes back to getting on television.
And you know what? Ronaldo Souza tested positive, and they pulled him out of UFC.
Right.
And the event still went forward, and everybody was tweeting about it. And you said, oh, that seems like a rather practical solution to a problem. And I do think, again, that's getting back to this new normal of where we have to say, look, if you test positive for COVID-19, you're not a pariah, you're not a bad person. You have to sit out. We need you to stay away from us for 2 weeks because we don't want this to spread. But that's not just sports. I mean, that's how all of us are going to be when we're allowed to go back into the Triad Center. You know, we're going to go back, and someone is inevitably going to test positive again. But that doesn't mean we expect everyone to stop coming to work. We're going to test all the people they came into contact with.
Mm-hmm.
Ideally, hopefully we have a good, fast test at that point and can get results, you know, that day. We send everyone home maybe that day from that department. But then we come back the next day when we get our cleared test back. And I just think that is what life is going to look like. And that's okay. And I think the NBA is going to be okay doing that. But somebody has to be first, and nobody wants to be first because it's going to look bad. So having someone like UFC do this, or golf do this next month, or baseball in early July, those are all just going to be important steps for healing. And really, again, a cool story that sports is going to be able to do to get the world moving in the right direction again.
What I want is for LeBron James to get it, and maybe, you know, Antis, you know.
Who's to say he hasn't had it?
Yeah.
The Lakers didn't disclose who had
it.
Well,
I don't care. I'm just thinking my dream world here, because I think that would be kind of a fitting number one guy. It would be a fitting scenario that it's like, you know, clearly probably the favorite to win the championship, and they didn't win the championship, and maybe a team like, you know, Utah maybe had a chance. You know, maybe it was one of those things where Utah gets in the finals. And because some other team had to sit some of their players, or some of their players got sick, so that would be, to me, I think that would be a fun thing. Do you think, you know, you mentioned these other leagues? Do you think that's part of the hesitation? It's like, well, we don't want to be first, but we're certainly going to watch and see what happens with golf and what happens with this. Do you think that factored into their decision at all, or do you think they're just kind of in their own world trying to figure this out?
100%. I think it's all related. And one of the things that they did talk about that has come out from this Board of Governors meeting that you were talking about yesterday, and even Adam Silver's conversation with NBA players last Friday, was a detailed breakdown on what every other sports league is trying to do to get back. And why not pick and choose and steal ideas and figure out what works and figure out what doesn't work, and let some of these smaller leagues be guinea pigs for the next, you know, 30 days. And then when you kind of figure out what has been successful and what's failed, you try and replicate those or get those out of your system so you're not going to repeat those same mistakes. And, you know, that's what every great company does. That's what smart companies do. And Adam Silver, he's a good leader, but he's not, you know, he's not dumb. One of the reasons he's a good leader isn't because he makes everything up and tries to reinvent the wheel. He looks around and sees what works and says, how can I steal that? How can I put that into my league? Which is why he's talking about stealing, you know, European soccer-style tournaments to put in the middle of the NBA season. He's absolutely aware of what everyone else is doing, and I think that's a positive development.
Stealing is a longstanding practice in the NFL, too. No, it really
sure,
is.
Sure, I know.
It's a copycat league.
Well, they even say it. They go, we're going to try this in these dumb leagues and see how it works out, and we'll steal some of those ideas.
This is the dumb league idea.
let's take a quick break, and Ben, when we come back, I want to talk specifically about what the Jazz are doing and where they're at with returning back to the practice facility, if that is going to end up being more than a handful of players at a time. So how that works. Stay right here with us. More to go. Ben Anderson stays here with us from KSLSports.com right around the corner, right here on KSL News Radio. Okay, welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled, Alex Keery and Scott Mitchell. Thanks for being with us. Download the podcast if you're unable to hear the full program. Every day we've got content pumping out of the old podcast, so find that wherever podcasts are found. Go to KSLSports.com, click on the podcast button, download any of the podcast products that we have there, including KSL's Unrivaled. Also, you can read bylines like that of Ben Anderson, who is with us right here, our Jazz and NBA insider, kind of pop culture know-it-all, also on the show here with us. Do you accept that title, pop culture know-it-all?
Yeah, I should change my Twitter bio.
Go to that. You've been watching this whole Last Dance documentary, and I think all of us have gotten a new look at Michael Jordan. I think something that we all knew we heard tale about how competitive he was, and we saw it certainly when he played. What have you gleaned from this that is different than what you thought or imagined? Because you're kind of in that same age group that I am, where it's like, oh, hey, during these formative teen years, Michael Jordan was like winning championships, and that like blew my mind. I was so glad to be like living and watching all that happen at the same time.
He's a little less Mamba mentality. And I actually think that makes sense, because nobody really got a sense of what Michael was. And he's more well-rounded than I think I thought he was. And I actually wonder if Kobe kind of had that same feeling, where Kobe, you know, we hear these stories of ultimate competitiveness from Michael and punching Steve Kerr and fighting with guys. But I think you see him in these videos, and he seems a little more human than I expected him to. And I never thought Kobe's competitiveness came off as all that human, which is why it kind of got that Mamba mentality label, and always just kind of everything got vacuumed in or thrown into that vacuum.
Sure.
Now, with Jordan, his relationships with some of the different players, his ability to goof around with some of the guys, even though it was probably at some points cruel, he actually is just a little more well-rounded than I expected him to. He's got a little bit more of a recognizable life than I thought we were going to get out of this. And I think that in that sense, the documentaries, we've been really good, you know, really comprehensive and kind of opening our eyes or sharing Michael Jordan with us, which is honestly what I think I had hoped would happen, just so I could get a better sense of you know, maybe the greatest athlete of all time, what he was, who he is.
That's been awesome.
Well, yeah, it has been. And there were a couple of moments that have come out, like you saw him weeping on the floor after winning the championship when his dad passed away, and it was one of those real moments, you know, a real person moment. I think, though, that Sports Illustrated has come out with an article, and of course he's in a longstanding feud with them, and they're like, the reason the Bulls won wasn't because Michael Jordan like made all these players tough, and this tough love, even you could question whether it was bullying or whatever. It was because he was really good, the best player on the planet, like head and shoulders. Scottie Pippen was like a 1A, maybe a 2. And then they had a Dennis Rodman, Horace Grant type of player that was kind of the guy that would, you know, go and you know, roll up his sleeves and get dirty in the mud, you know, under the basket kind of thing. And then from there, it didn't matter. You know, you just had you could replace a Steve Kerr with a John Paxton or whatever. And so but I don't believe that. I don't believe it was because Jordan was great. I think he really elevated the play of every single player on that team, and he may have had his methods, and maybe people agreed or disagreed with him. But I think his greatness was actually pushing, you know, people to be to be the best version of themselves. And let's face it, who doesn't want to hit, who doesn't want to punch Steve Kerr, right? I mean,
now more than ever,
yeah,
right?
It's like it's a Golden State, yeah. Smart aleck guy, I'd like to punch him in the nose.
Okay. Ben, what I wanted to ask too was ESPN put out that list of the top 74 players of all time or whatever, and they put out the top 5 or 10 or whatever, and it was LeBron James 2, Michael Jordan 1. I think we were all sort of anticipating that. Do you think that the
momentum... Why'd you say LeBron first? Because it made it sound like he was number 1. You said LeBron James 2, Michael number 1.
That's what it was on the list.
Right, but it made it sound like LeBron was number 1 in your mind.
No. What I'm saying is that they put on the list all the way down, and you were waiting for it to be whatever 1 and 2 was. And number 1 was Michael Jordan, number 2 is LeBron. So... do you think that the momentum of the documentary has solidified that, or is it just because it's got that momentum that people are a little bit easier, or does he deserve that? Is LeBron James a solid number 2 spot there?
I think it's accurate, and I do think the documentary has swayed people's opinion, but maybe it's just better informed people, where when you win 6 championships in 8 years and you weren't playing for 2, well, I guess 1.5 of them, he did come back and lose to that Shaq Orlando Magic team. But when you win that many in a row, it's remarkable and it's a sign of something. And, you know, LeBron has, and it's not all his fault, but he's lost 6 finals. He's lost finals when he was favored, when he was with Miami. He lost 2 finals he probably shouldn't have lost. So I do think those fall on LeBron, and I think that's fair criticism. And Michael doesn't have that once he got to the highest level. It was almost impossible to take it from him. I've been surprised watching on Twitter, following Jazz players, NBA players, how many current NBA guys were not familiar with as much of Michael as it seems like they weren't, including George Niang saying, how would you ever let me say anyone other than Michael was the best? And you know, he was blaming his teammates for claiming that LeBron was the best player ever, like he had never seen Michael play or like he'd never kind of live this experience. And A, it gives you a sense of the vacuum those guys live in, where they don't have this great history of the game, and B, how young a lot of these guys are, where they've only grown up watching LeBron, where they didn't recognize how different Michael actually was and what that felt like to watch him play the game.
There was that Kevin Garnett story that we listened to a few weeks ago where I can't remember, it was on some podcast, and he went out there and he had like put on like 25 points in the first half against Jordan, and they were up by 2, and he started talking trash to Michael Jordan, and one of the other veterans from the Celtics runs over and was like, Mike, he doesn't mean it, he's a rookie, he's stupid, he doesn't know what he's talking about, and Kevin Garnett's like, yeah, I was like, whatever, dude, I own you. And then they came back, Michael Jordan scored like 52, and they ended up winning by 20 over the Celtics, and it was like, and he didn't even look at Kevin Garnett, he's like, I've never even heard of you. Like,
so Ben, this would be a big deal to me. So the football in the NFL, it was very particular to me. The grain of the leather, the feel of the ball. And I know it's that way for NBA guys. There's talk that there's a new basketball.
Yeah, so Wilson, according to Chris Haynes from Yahoo Sports, Wilson's going to come back and be the producer of the new NBA basketball starting in 2021. Well, where Spalding has been doing it since 1983, so whatever that is, you know, 37 years now, 36 years. So they're going to make that change. And do you guys remember in 2006, Spalding tried to change the ball, and it was kind of that multi-colored tan and light tan.
It was like brown and light brown. Yeah. Everybody hated it.
It was like plasticky.
It looked like, oh, so this is what the WNBA plays with, right? Like, it was like,
it's a real thing. It's going to be fascinating to me to see how, if the player, I mean, it's a whole new brand. It's a different brand of basketball. I don't know.
Yeah, but it's
scoring's going down.
Same guys who they'll go out and bounce a rubber ball in their front yard or in the gym or go play street ball. They don't care.
They care about stuff like this.
Here's the thing I wonder about. Honestly, this is going to be silly, but the feeling of the Spalding letters, because they're kind of they're impressed on the actual ball.
Sure.
You can line your fingers up with the word Spalding, and Wilson will honestly have a different feel. And I know that's silly to think, but guys who are shooting free throws, when you kind of have an ability to actually set the ball and line it up, I guarantee you, Scott, the same way you found the laces, guys would find the letters. Well, listen, where
these
they
are
to have their fingers.
Look,
it's a thing. It's a real thing.
The quarterbacks aren't showing up and deflating, or the point guards aren't showing up and deflating the basketballs, putting the basketballs in a dryer all week to make sure that they're all the sheen is off of them.
You think they're not? You don't know.
They'll figure it out. They'll figure it out. As long as it's not like a multicolored, ABA basketball, I think we'll be okay. Final question here, Ben. The Jazz are slowly moving into, and we hit that May 8th deadline where the NBA said, yeah, we're going to start letting people into the practice facilities, and the Jazz are one of those teams that, they have a handful of guys coming back to work out at a time. What's the timeline look like for that, and do we know, I think we know that Donovan Mitchell still isn't even in the state of Utah yet.
Yeah, Jordan Clarkson yesterday posted a video of himself or a photo of himself on Instagram. Looked like he was in a private plane, so that's a good sign. He's coming back. The Jazz did welcome players back in, last Monday?
Yeah.
So a little more than a week ago now. So those are all good signs that the players are coming back, and certainly guys are making an effort to come back. And look, the NBA is going to tell you there's only four guys at a time. Everyone's going to do their best to make sure there's only four guys at a time. These guys are absolutely going to be playing together. There's just no way. And honestly, to get to that point where we're talking about, herd immunity, like the idea of these guys kind of all playing together when they're young and healthy, and if someone is going to get sick or multiple guys are going to get sick, it might be like your kids when we had chicken pox growing up, where your mom would say, hey, go play with him so you can get it now so we can just get it taken care of. There honestly might be a push in some of these guys to say, look, Donovan got it, didn't know it. Rudy had it, had a couple of minor issues with it, felt sick one day, lost his taste, but otherwise he's fine now. There may be a push from a lot of these guys to say, hey, you know what? If we can get this taken care of while the season's not going on and I'm not going to miss time, I'm not going to miss games, I might rather have it. And I just, how competitive these guys are, you're going to see that type of thing.
Just like the old, the chicken pox parties in the 80s. That's what people are going to do now. It's the COVID-19 parties. Ben Anderson, KSLSports.com. Read his byline there and get the insights that you want about the Jazz and the NBA on KSLSports.com. Ben, thanks for hanging out, man. We'll talk to you again.
Thanks, guys.
Taking the break. We'll come back. News, traffic, and weather right now on KSL News Radio. More of KSL's Unrivaled next on KSL News Radio.
KSL's Unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Carey on KSL News Radio.
All right, welcome back, everybody. KSL's Unrivaled, Alex Carey and Scott Mitchell. Thanks for hanging out. Download the podcast today, wherever podcasts are found. As we go along in the program here, Scott, there are some things that have caught our eye today in the world of sports. Florida's Governor Ron DeSantis has made a comment that is right along with what is also being said in the state of Arizona, and that is the state of Florida and the state of Arizona are open for pro sports business. Here's what he had to say about all of it in a press conference.
Professional sports are going to be welcome in Florida. That may not be the case in every other state in this country, as we've seen. And so what I would tell commissioners of leagues is, if you have a team in an area where they just won't let them operate, we'll find a place for you here in the state of Florida because we think it's important and we know that it can be done safely.
Look, they do spring training in Florida and Arizona every year.
Yeah.
And they certainly have the facilities to really handle, right. Of course, we think about football specifically.
But they're talking about, no fans.
Right.
So what does it matter? You have a pro ballpark that you don't even need to fill. It doesn't have stands that are like the stands at Yankee Stadium.
You could have two NFL games at Miami Hard Rock Cafe Stadium or in Jacksonville or in Tampa.
Well, they have
Orlando has a 65,000, a nice stadium, the Citrus Bowl. You could play it at any of these colleges.
Yeah, but the stadium's already set up. Look, the George Steinbrenner Baseball Complex in Tampa.
Yeah.
That's a pro stadium that seats like 10,000 people, and because you're not going to have anybody there anyway, except for like
Disney
essential
World,
staff and
Disney
everything,
World
it doesn't matter.
Disney World has baseball stadiums.
Yeah, I mean, look.
The Atlanta Braves have their spring training at Disney World. It's an awesome facility.
This can all work.
An awesome facility that could be full of no one.
Right. This can all work, and now they're telling them it needs to follow guidelines that are, local disease control, of the states and federal mandate wise. They have to follow all that. So The question is it irresponsible to say, when all these states are trying to figure out how to get this thing going, and then Florida goes, well, just come here, dude. Like, well, Florida, we got it going.
Florida, look, they opened up the state. They had all those spring breakers on the beach. They haven't had this massive epidemic like they had in New York City or New Jersey. And Florida is the fourth most populated state in the country, behind New York, Texas, and California. I mean, there's a lot of people in the state of Florida. A lot of people visit the state of Florida, and Arizona. You know, I mean, is a good location. Maybe not so much as far as the facilities and the expanse of facilities, but certainly Arizona could handle football. It could handle baseball. I mean, a significant number of those teams. It's going to be hot in both these states right now. So, you know, I mean, that could be an issue. I mean, you know, it's 115 degrees in the desert in the summer. I don't know how you would do all that. But it certainly, and again, they claim that hot weather actually helps with the virus and helps curtail it. So being in a warm location in some of these places may not be a bad idea at all. And, of course, you're not going to go into it and just kind of crazy and not, you know, not show some kind of precaution. I'm just going to go back to the conversation we had with Ben earlier that, you know, if these guys have issues, and they're probably not the demographic that's going to have serious side effects from this illness, and having these players around in this herd,
herd immunity or whatever they're talking about.
Of how to deal with it would, you know, I don't know that it's a bad idea. And it's probably kind of like what happened with Rudy, only the other way. All of a sudden, this thing just starts unwinding. They see that UFC didn't have major issues. Golf starts not having major issues. I'm not saying they are, they're not, but then it's just gonna be that snowball effect in the opposite direction of these leagues unwinding, and we'll see where it happens. Because I think the big scare now, and I hate this whole we're in this fear mindset about all this, but the big scare is we let too many people go too early, and then we have a second wave of this, And then I think it's scary. But I guess if you have a second wave of it, you slow things down again. I don't know. You know,
right.
I just don't think you can live in fear and live quarantined for the rest of your life.
So, Major League Baseball, the NBA, and they said the NHL also part of this. I mean, where you can go, look, these teams could fire up.
NHL would melt, though, I think. Do they have a ring? I mean, they have.
Yeah, of course.
Well, they got Tampa Bay, and they have Miami.
Wait. Is the Florida Panthers not a team anymore? Is that not a team anymore?
We're a sports show, right?
Didn't they win something? Didn't they win like the championship or something? But
yeah.
For sure they have the Lightning in Tampa Bay.
And the Florida Panthers.
I think they can figure it out. But the problem is the rest of the league. So what are you going to do? Let's say that, are you saying baseball, but, Major but League Baseball, Major here, League Baseball could have all 30 teams
playing
in Florida or in Arizona?
If you don't have fans, you don't have to worry. You can turn games over quickly.
You all right? Everything's going to be okay. Scott's okay.
I got the COVID.
No, you don't.
Yeah, it just
hit
me.
You can't joke like that, bro.
It just hit me. I got the COVID.
Like, you can't be like Rudy Gobert.
I can't taste anything anymore. I've got the COVID.
You are the worst, dude.
Look, if you, that's my point earlier. If you don't have fans in the stands, you have one NFL game, and an hour later, an hour after that game's over, you can have another one right
back
after
to
the
back
game.
NFL games,
and all you have is a generic logo. You don't have team. You just have an NFL logo
in the middle of the field.
In the middle of the field,
right?
And the same thing with baseball. It's like holding a tournament. I mean, you could house. You know, you have.
Could you imagine do you switch out broadcast teams? Does another broadcast team have to come in and go?
Depends on who's broadcasting, if you like them or not. you have the NFC and the AFC West in Tampa.
Okay.
You have the NFC
and AFC East in Orlando.
Jacksonville.
Okay.
And then you have like the central teams in like Orlando.
You don't have to do that. You don't have to go that crazy.
And
what you do?
And Miami.
You don't do that. You do all the Western teams in the United States are playing in Arizona, and all the Eastern teams are all playing in Florida.
There you go.
So you have a couple teams at the Fiesta Bowl. You have a couple teams at Arizona's field or Glendale. That's an NFL.
You can have two in Tucson.
So you could have it figured it out. Come on, hey, we're figuring this out for you. Football field the same length at a middle school level, as it is at Pee Wee, or as it is in the pros. So look,
except for Furman. Furman only has
88 yard field,
8-man football.
So I'm just telling you, this is something that at the very least is interesting, but it also does sound a little bit like, let's get this thing going. And there are a lot of people who are like, hold the phone. I don't know if we're ready. I don't know if I'm ready. I don't know if their team's ready. So if they could start immediately.
If you're a player, Alex, like if you had to hang out somewhere in the country, hanging out in a warm weather place, and I'm talking about during this, if you know, November, December, and you're a team from like Buffalo, you're like, heck yeah, I want to go and hang out for the whole season in South Florida or in Florida anywhere. Be happy to do that.
What about the college level, where you'll have full campuses that are closed, and then but you'll have these, you'll have the ability to be able to. Some schools are going to be able to make the decision to be open still, or they're going virtual in the classroom, but still being able to open your facilities for games to be played without fans.
All right, I'm gonna jump way away from sports right now because something just hit me in the head when you said there's nobody
virtual class.
There's nobody on campus,
right?
Take BYU now. It has 30,000 students,
yeah,
University
sure.
of Utah, somewhere like that. Why couldn't you now double your enrollment and have 60,000 and half of those people are online students? I mean, the massive revenue that a college...
How about 100% of them being online?
I guess you want
there
that college
labs,
experience or whatever.
You want to have that, yeah.
And maybe you switch it semesters. One semester you're on, one semester you're off. I don't know. It was totally, totally off topic, but it just hit me. College is a little different to me because the atmosphere, having the students a part of it, I don't know. I think it's a little bit more challenging.
Let's take our break here. We'll come back. We'll have our buy or sell segment to wrap the show up. Stay with us right here on KSL's Unrivaled. Final segment of the show, KSL's Unrivaled this evening. Thanks for being with us. You can always download the podcast, and please do so. You can download this and many other podcasts wherever podcasts are found. Or you can go to KSLSports.com, download the podcast there. Download the Nightside Project. Listen there. Why not? If you missed all those things, then listen to that too. Scott, you doing okay today, bro?
I am. I'm doing quite well. Thank you.
Because I care about you, man. You sneezed last segment. I got nervous about it.
Well, I got the COVID.
And on this end, I put my mask up just because it made me feel. Yeah. Who knows if I'm going to contract it over the airwaves. You have a mask with you. Here's my question. If you're at home and you're wearing the mask, do you wear the mask when you answer the door? I've had a couple of people roll up, deliver packages, things like that. My favorite is to watch the pizza guy on my Ring doorbell. It's like a pastime for me. Pizza guy rings the Ring doorbell, right? And I get to watch him run away.
Does he run?
Oh, yeah. Well, kind of shuffles quickly, you know? And it depends on the personality of the pizza guy. Pizza personality, that affects it. So they'll drop like it's a grenade on your front porch, and then they run. And then they wave at you when you pick up the pizza, and then they come back and get their little hot bag or whatever it is.
I don't have people come to my door. Now I feel bad.
Smart.
I feel bad.
Now it's good. What do you say? Have you had pizza delivered, though, right?
During why would I have pizza delivered? Can
really
I do that?
I've got kids. Pizza's a staple every week.
And to have it just brought to your house?
Got
to
do it.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, because it's better than showing up at the store. Anyway, maybe people feel differently. Scott, this music that we're about to play right here means we're at the end of the program. Brought to you by Online Trading Academy. Get a free 3-hour online trading training. Just go to tradingacademy.org, tradingacademy.com, tradingacademy.com. And you can get that free 3-hour deal there from Online Trading Academy. All right. Scotty, let's start here. You tell us what the buy or sell means.
Well, what it means is we look at opportunities in sports that we like or we dislike. And if we like them, we buy them. And if we don't like them, we sell them.
Right.
And about about 97%.
We're like
accurate.
The Warren Buffetts of the buy or sell right here.
Uncannily, we're right most of the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Scary how good we are.
Let me see here. Do you by in any way teams relocating to different places to get the season started, at least, or something's happening for, in the NFL. That the NFL, like there's some of their California teams, could relocate out of state, at least for some games here and there in 2020.
I love the idea of this. I'm absolutely.
They're too prideful, though. They won't do it.
Well, but it's a different time. You know, people are realizing. Look, we've got to think outside the box. I like the locations, and I like the fact that it feels like you can control this in a larger sense. And it's one of those things that helps you get over a state like California that says, you know, we're shutting down indefinitely, and you know, kind of sorry rest of the world. And then you get some of these other states, maybe a place like Kansas, Missouri, where they go, yeah, we don't quite have the issues you have, or you know, some of these other places. So yeah, I could totally see it being a great solution for the diverse kind of feelings about sports or just this whole virus in the country.
Scott, Major League Baseball, we're seeing something happen in the city of Nashville, Tennessee. The city has applied for a logo trademark for a possible Major League Baseball team there in Nashville. Nashville has proven themselves to be a massive sports town. I have no doubt that a Major League team in Nashville would go gangbusters because they've sold out to their hockey team. They have absolutely embraced all the sports teams that show up.
Well, and the Tennessee Titans. I mean, they got a great, you know.
Yes, and Nashville
played there when I played. Phenomenal fan base.
And Nashville itself is like one of these booming cities now. Very young population, and they are dying to have a team they can cling on to. I'm not asking you about Nashville. Do you ever buy a Major League Baseball team in Salt Lake City?
Well, my comment, believe it or not, was actually going to be, I'm not buying this. I'll tell you where I am buying it, and they should put one in Salt Lake City.
Why? How could we do it, though? How could we do 81 games?
When I was back in college, they had the Trappers, or
the Seagulls.
It didn't matter who they were.
Uh-huh.
There has been an uncanny interest in baseball in Salt Lake City for years. We've been to the tune of 40,000
people.
Yes.
For 82 nights every year.
Yes.
And it's really cold here in April. It can be extremely cold.
It's cold
in
Chicago. This isn't, look, it isn't warmer in Chicago than it is here. I know Nashville's a great city and blah blah blah, but I'm telling you, Salt Lake City, I believe, could. Just think about they have minor league teams in Orem and Ogden. And if you pulled that whole base of people from Orem to Ogden to a Major League Baseball team in Salt Lake, absolutely. And Smith Ballpark is phenomenal,
amazing.
I don't know if you expand it or you go, let's go downtown, let's create another iconic spot. That's where I would do it, is downtown Salt Lake. You have so much mass transport.
Where would you do it, downtown Salt Lake?
Well, you just bulldoze a couple of old buildings. Come on. They do it all there. Have you not watched the construction that's happening right now?
You could do it out by the fair.
Maybe
by
do
the
it
fair
at the fair, with the yeah, fairgrounds yeah, or something like that. Park. I mean, it'd be great to have it in conjunction with the NBA, you know, or somewhere close to that. It would be. I mean, let's just tear this building down. You got a parking lot across the street. And there, it's the Salt Lake Templars.
Oh,
is who?
Oh
it's,
boy, I tell you what, those would be some cool like,
or the Utah Pioneers or something like that.
I'm not as big of a fan of that one, just because
you like the Templars.
Feel like the Templars is
Templars
dope.
Is kind of
it. Kind of has that vintage feel, to
right?
It.
Yeah,
you know, and so it has this kind of like, and it would have you'd have all sorts of things to draw on there. I love that. So, but you know, it would be some animal. It'd be like the Utah Raptor, because they have the raptor here.
Or the badger.
What? The badger? There's no badgers here.
There are two badgers.
Are there badgers in the state of Utah?
Yeah, they could be coyotes. Wouldn't be the cougars. Cougars. Yeah,
I get it.
Yeah.
So, well, yeah, look, it's already taken.
Yeah, that's what it is.
It's somehow already, sliding
it's
already, us.
It's already taken.
You could be the Utah Karens. You know, like the
Karens. What's,
you never
what's
heard
a, what's
of like
a Karen?
Karen?
No.
So you know how people will insult others and say, okay, boomer, right? That's a thing. That became kind of a mainstream thing. A Karen is like a middle-aged or older mom who is like wants to complain to the manager.
I got you.
Are you picturing it?
Gotcha.
Short hair.
Gotcha.
So that's like what a Karen is, right?
Well, in my time, it was Gladys Kravitz from she was the nosy neighbor from Bewitched.
Yeah. The one who's like, excuse me, excuse you.
Yes.
Excuse you. Yeah, so that's so the Utah Karens could be good. Terrifying. And the mascot is just one of those big bobblehead, or one of those big, you know, it has a big head, has the short hair with the spiky, getting off the rails here. I'm telling you. I'm trying to think about all these places we could put.
We went way off the rails like about an hour ago when we started this thing.
Scott, are you buying those? Did you see the new Rams jerseys?
Let me tell you something.
I didn't like the logo, but when I saw the jerseys, I thought they're awesome.
I don't care if the logo, any of it, I'm buying all of it. When you rebrand something, it usually doesn't matter what it is.
People are going to complain.
They're going to complain, but they're also going to buy
new thing.
And it'll become normal. I remember when the Cincinnati Bengals changed their whole, you know, the whole helmet thing. And I remember people were, myself included, go, I hate that. Because it was so non-traditional, right? It's now like,
I can't
imagine the Bengals helmets like that. And so... Do I like it or I don't like it doesn't matter to me. It's rebranded and it will become normal and it's something that I would
buy. So in the Rams organization, there's always one person, right? And they go, we're going to ask this one person their opinion on it. So they have to ask Eric Dickerson, right? Eric Dickerson is like the quintessential Ram. And he was like, I don't like it. And so everyone's like, oh.
Yeah.
And I'm going, Dickerson, you wore basically the same gear. You know, the Rams went with a terrible color scheme for a long period of time when they were there in St. Louis. And when they went back to the blue and yellow, they went back to the classic blue and yellow. Right. But this is the same blue and yellow. It's just a little bit sharper look. I like it. It's kind of chrome helmet. All right. For Scott Mitchell, I'm Alex Keery. Thanks for hanging out with us. We're done for this evening, but we will be back tomorrow. So until then, we'll see you then.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLpodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.